This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Okay, our message for this month, for this message is one that was first published back in October of the year 2012, and it's being put on audio in the month of November of the year 2024. And the subject scripture is found in 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse number 21. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. It says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." The subject title for this message is "The Gloves Are Coming Off." This is part number 10. And as I've said, this is part 10 of an 11-part message. I might be able to cut it down to 10. I'll see how much time I have left, how much space I have left. But anyway, here I was saying that last month, I was mentioning how God sees our attitude towards Him when, after He delivers us from trouble, we go right back into doing the same things that got us there in the first place. The Bible tells us that we are like pigs. After they have been cleaned, they return back to the mud, or as dogs that return to and eat their own vomit. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 11 and 12, from the Young's Literal Translation, it says, "As a dog hath returned to its vomit, a fool is repeating his folly." In verse number 12, "Thou hast seen a man wise in his own eyes, more hope of a fool than of him. Now, what we have here is a group of people who are, for all intents and purposes, acting worse than fools. Remember, Psalms 14 and verse number 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." The scripture is saying a person that doesn't believe there is a God has a better chance than someone that knows God but treats him like something to be kept out of sight and mind until needed, like a spare tire. So, Elijah, after following the correct procedure to call on God, is rewarded by him, God, displaying his power by not only devouring the sacrifice and the altar, but getting rid of the water as well. The people, upon seeing this, fall on their knees and repent. But Elijah is not through yet. He then tells the people, starting in verse 40, to round up all of these prophets that had been leading them astray and bring them to him. He then takes them down to the river and kills all of them. What we have here is the actual reality of what we need to be doing with these poverty pimps, prophets of Baal, today. Back in the Old Testament, under the law, they were physically killed. What this represents is, after repentance, the people eliminated any negative influence in their midst, no matter whether it was idols, animals, or people. All had to be destroyed, lest they rise up and start the whole thing over again. You know, in order to get rid of a weed, you have to destroy it at its root, or it will rise again. Am I saying that we should round up all these false prophets and preachers and kill them? Well, if you would consider all of the millions upon millions of souls that are now in hell because of these people, then killing them would be a fitting punishment, as it was back then. But under this age of grace, God has other means to kill them, so to speak. He begins by taking away what they desire most, and that is their money, power, and influence. He has his people to turn away from them, to render them isolated. With their power and influence over the people gone, they are left to their own devices to suffer the fate that they have sent others to. In heaven, Satan sought to be like God and was knocked out of that position that he had and from the presence of God. So after God created man, Satan sought to get back at God by breaking up the relationship man had with God. all because he, Satan, no longer had what he craved most, and that was the worship and adoration of others in heaven. Take away their positions with mankind, and you have rendered them impotent. But just like Elijah had to reveal them for who they really were, so too I and other evangelists have to begin to put these false preachers on Front Street to reveal them for who they really are. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, it says, "For such are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." God wants to reveal to us what these people are doing to us, and that they are not called by him to speak in his name. So how is he going to do this? He is going to do it by sending his curses on them and their families. They are going to be getting sick. They are going to start suffering all sorts of problems. Many of them will start losing their minds and ending up in asylums. Perfectly healthy members of their families will begin suffering from diseases that will seem to have come out of nowhere. Strokes, heart attacks, diabetes, paralyzing afflictions, scandals, and the like, for which there will be no remedy. Some of you might be saying, "I am going too far." Oh, really? How am I going too far if I am saying what God wants said? You see, in order for God to prove himself to us, he needs someone to proclaim what he is getting ready to do so that the people will know who is behind what happens. Before God sent the plagues to Egypt, he had Moses announce what was going to happen before it happened. That way, Pharaoh would know it was not by some freak accident in nature that these things happened, but rather a designed action by God. Many times, God will not move without someone speaking the word first. Most preachers are good at speaking good things, and that is fine. However, when it comes down to addressing God's coming wrath, they are all of a sudden as quiet as a mouse. The reason being, if they attributed the problems that this nation is facing to his wrath, then the people would want to know just what it is that they are doing that warrants his wrath. And that is something they don't want to do, because they would have to admit that they have been leading the people astray by claiming their problems are because of men. God is getting ready to shine the light on those that are that falsely do and say things in his name, and the people will know them because they will be running for cover. these people are not only defiling themselves and other people, but they are defiling the church, the body of Christ. Not to mention that they are openly mocking and presenting a false image of Him, God, to the people. That, my friends, is blasphemy. But once again, in order for man to know that God is behind things that are causing so much grief and despair, God sends His anointed forward to speak the word of warning and wrath. Do you remember what happened on 9/11? If you will read messages that I posted on this ministry's website in tracts and newsletters, I had been giving warnings about what would happen to this nation because of all of the iniquity this nation and its people were guilty of. And, by the way, I was not the only one. Jimmy Swaggart, Billy Graham, R.W. Shambach, John Hagee, Rod Parsley, and many others are warning America to turn from their wickedness. What we got from them in return was scorn, laughter, mocking, persecution, and hatred. Then it happened. All of a sudden, the people were shocked that something like this could happen to us. With all of our technology, power, security, and the like, some average people managed to do things that, had anyone in their right minds, would notice. Like men taking flying lessons and not wanting to learn how to land a plane, only how to fly it, would have raised suspicions. They were able to do this because God blinded them to what was happening. You see, we have to realize this. When God is going to do something, He will blind the eyes of those that pride themselves in being able to prevent bad things from happening. And He will do it in such a way as to make them look like complete idiots. You see what the response was from the people after the fact, when preachers said that it was God's wrath on this nation. Once again, the laughter, scorn, ridicule, and hate were deafening. Late-night comedians cracked jokes about us, and leading the charge were, guess who? The poverty pimps. The Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons, and other black leaders that wear the title of Reverend. They are now going to pay a price for not taking heed to the signs of the times, the warnings, and falsely representing themselves as God's messengers. As I was writing this series, I noticed that one of these people's sons, who happens to be a congressman, had to be hospitalized because of severe depression. A perfectly healthy individual suddenly disappearing from view and being found in need of mental health professionals. This person is one who consistently attacks those of us that said for what Christ says as being some type of lunatics. Now, look who is in the who has mental problems. Let me remind you of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar when God turned him into a wild animal for a time because of his treatment of God's people in Daniel chapter number 4, verses 32 through 34. If one were to study the Bible in earnest, they would see that everything that is happening in the world has been foretold long before you and I were even thought of. Yet most of the ones that are charged with bringing that point out are being too timid or blind to speak on it, and that is a mistake on their part, because Ezekiel chapter number 33 verses 2 through 6 says this: Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them. Now get this. This is God speaking. He says, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Did you notice the terminology, when I bring the sword upon a land? It is not a matter of if, but when. And I am saying the when is now. With everything that is going wrong in this nation, the people are looking to politicians to solve a problem that can only be solved by God. Yet, once again, the poverty pimps are standing up to defy God by making him irrelevant, saying it is the Republicans that are the problem. They, along with the religious right, are simply trying to scare you. In closing, the warning has been issued. The trumpet has and is being sounded. What is your response going to be? There are only two ways to go. Which one will you choose? Whatever happens to you and your family after this is totally on you. I will close next month. Yeah, I thought I might have to. I've always been saying it was going to be 11 months. Or, 11 parts of the message, but I was going to try to squeeze them in, but I'm just going to go on and do what I was going to do and finish it in 11 months. I thought I was going to edit some parts out, but I see that I better leave them all in here to give you the full picture. So we're closing this part off, and I'll get back to you next month. And as usual, let me just say to you and your families, may God bless you and your family real good until we get together again. Good day.